This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's right, voice guy Doug Whaley, brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. And Doug Whaley brought to us by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, 4.75% on a seven-month CD with just $1,000 new money. Full details at AllegiantFCU.org. Good morning to you, Doug. How you doing?
Fellas, I got a little taste of your medicine today. I'm out here in Phoenix on the West Coast, so had to get up around 5 o'clock. I know that's still a little later than you guys do, but I feel what you guys go through every single day of the week.
Yeah, it must suck just getting to hang out in a beautiful place. That's where I was wondering where he was going with that. Got a little taste of your medicine. I'm in paradise right now.
Right.
It's supposed to be 95 degrees today, so I don't know about paradise, but it is when you hit the pool in 95.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Doran, yesterday was about 80 around here. It was, I think, the most perfect weather day of the year and
great.
Probably the best day we're going to have for the rest of the year. So suck on them apples, Mr. Doug Whaley.
My wife was telling me about that, so I'm glad everybody's getting a little taste of good weather. How about that?
That's right. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. All right, Doug, before we get into Russ Wilson and his performance on Sunday night, which we want to spend a lot of time with you on, Cooper Kupp available. And the Rams say they'll eat a lot of the salary. They're asking for a second-round pick. A, should the Steelers be interested? And B, do you think there might be a pressure from Omar Khan to overpay because of missing out on Ayuk, because of missing out on Davante Adams, because of, well, gestures wildly the entirety of the offseason?
I'll say yes, they have to be interested. One, because of the performance of the quarterback and how the quarterback was shown that he can distribute the ball. But two, I don't think you overpay, especially for this guy. When you look at this guy with his age and his injury history, and we all know the older you get, the easier those injuries are to reoccur. And from my sources, and look at me, I'm a media guy, my sources said they didn't want to go over a fourth rounder for Adams. So we all agree, Adams is a better receiver than Cooper Kupp at this time. Ability to stay on the field, production, and fits what we're looking for, the Steelers are looking for even more as being a number one wide receiver. If they're not going to go over a fourth rounder for him, I can't see them going for a second for Kupp. That's a slot with a long injury history and an older guy. So, yes, I understand it, because when we look at it and when you look at the wide receiver position from a Steelers standpoint, it's like 2 o'clock and the lights are on at the bar. So everything's looking good. You just got to be careful to not overpay. And we can also see this from when, well, I know we're going to talk about Russell Wilson, but when Justin Fields came on as a quarterback, the Steelers and the Steelers fans were so starved for quarterback play that everybody was saying, how can you take this guy out? Well, because there was somebody better around the corner that just walked out of the bar before they kicked you out of the bar.
Doug, how does these things go down? If you're a GM in your scouting department and you have a need for a player and a need for a position, and you have your eyes set on one guy and he does have an injury history, like, are you just playing a guessing game? Like saying, like, we're going to hope and guess that this guy's going to be healthy if we do acquire him? Or, like, are you contacting any trainers, their agent, talking and seeing, like, what their rehab situation is? Like, how does that all go down, and how could you come to a conclusion of if you want to trade for a player or sign a player?
So in most scouting departments, you have a scouting system. And in that scouting system, there is a way to track injury histories. And a lot of times you say, all right, he's inactive because of injury. And what's the injury? So you put that in that scouting system. So when they pull up Cooper Kupp in their system, they're going to be able to look at his game logs, his injury history, and every statistic they have on him. And that's when you hand it over to your medical team, your trainer, your head physician, and your head orthopedic guy, which is, and then say, all right, from this injury history, what are your concerns? Are you concerned? Is it a recurring soft tissue injury, or has it been a multitude of injuries that had no correlation to each other? Or is it, oh, he had a hammy, now he has Achilles. Well, he was kind of compensating. So you let them, the medical professionals, tell you this guy's a risk or a low risk, or, hey, this guy's just had bad luck. So that's how you start it, especially when you start talking about the medical. And in the end, and you all have heard, the trade is complete pending a physical. And that's, once he gets in, he's got to take that physical, and then you see. But a lot of it is leaning on your medical professionals, and that's what they get paid to do.
Doug Whaley in with us for the full 9 o'clock hour here. You can text your questions for Doug on the text line, 412-928-9370, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We were speculating about this earlier. How much do relationships between general managers have to do with stuff getting done this time of the year? Is that really important, or is it just transactional?
No, it's for, if you have a relationship with another GM, that really helps in the cause. There are some GMs that are just purely transactional. And then there's also GMs where they won't do a deal unless they clearly win. And then there's other GMs. So it's really, you have to case the situation, know the team you're talking to, understand your limitations, but also when it gets down to it, make sure, unless you're on a stretch run to make the Super Bowl and you know you're one piece away and this is that position and that player, that's that one piece that you're going to make the Super Bowl, you should never overpay, because when you overpay, it always comes back to bite you.
How far away would they be if they did get Cooper Kupp? Where would they be? What's their ceiling if Cooper Kupp is a Pittsburgh Steeler?
From what I saw from Sunday's game, their ceiling's unlimited. And you just don't put a ceiling on them, because their potential is very – I mean, when you start talking about putting up over 30 points a game with that defense and a quarterback that, as we saw – on Sunday night, can elevate other people's games that weren't really scratched the surface with other people being the quarterback. That's the difference between a guy that's has quarterback talent and a talented quarterback. Remember, we brought that up? We saw that Sunday. And that's no slight on Justin. He's got talent, and he's going to get better and hopefully get to the point where Russell is. So when you look at it, if I'm Justin Fields, and one, I have to give kudos to him. He is a consummate professional. The way he answered that question, you couldn't ask for any better answer, because he put it on himself. And I love guys that put it on himself. As my dad always says, if you get slighted, don't be bitter, just get better. And that's the way he's attacking. Let me get better. And one of the ways he can get better is sitting back and seeing how Russell Wilson operates, not only on the field during game day, practice, and preparation. Learn from that guy. Be a sponge. Understand and watch film with him afterwards. What'd you see here? Why did you do this? Pick his brain. And I can't 100% say this, but the way Russell Wilson comes across, Russell's going to offer that up, information up. So to me, to get way back to bring it back to your question, I think any receiver, but a guy like Cooper Kupp, it's going to alter the offensive scheme, but I'm okay with that, because Arthur Smith has shown the ability to not have a system that people have to fit, but fit his system around the talent he has available.
If you could create the perfect wide receiver in a lab that this team needs, what kind of guy would that be? He's taking a drink.
I would say, I mean, unfortunately, if you look at the two guys that they missed out on, Ayuk and Adams. I mean, those are the type that you can have a bona fide number one and then have a 1B in Pickens. And then you have those bootlegs to Freiermuth, Mount Washington, and maybe Roman Wilson will finally get on the field, but that doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon. But the main point is, when you have a quarterback that can elevate other people's game, you can put just, I wouldn't say you put anybody in there, but guys that weren't flourishing before will have a chance to contribute and contribute at a higher level than they were before.
I want to get into Arthur Smith with you, obviously more on Russell Wilson. We'll get into all that. We got a full hour here with Doug Whaley, 45 minutes or so still yet to go. So we'll be back with Doug right after this. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, it is a Wednesday with Doug Whaley. It's also Pet Fest Week, presented by Subaru, and it's back October 27th. That's this Sunday. It's at Rockwell Park in the East End, right next to the East End Co-op, so super easy to find, plenty of free parking. The event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, animal shelters, participate in costume contests, get photos with Santa, or join in the blessing of the pets at 9:30 a.m. Pet Fest brought to you by Point Breeze Veterinary Clinic, Shenorovich, Shenorovich & Fishman, and EV True Value Hardware. For more information, please go to 937thefan.com. Doug, you got a dog?
I do have a dog. We have a puppy. He's probably about 8-9 months now. So as you can, and people that are dog owners know, he's very rambunctious at this time of his life.
We have talked, actually, I should have remembered, we've talked about your dog because you have a little one at home too that's, what, just over a year old. So what?
Yeah.
Doug, listen, man, you look great. You're not a young guy. What are you doing? A puppy and a baby at once? God bless you.
Hey, it's straight chaos. Since we had such a wide disparity in age between our daughter and our son, we just said, well, let's have the what we consider our Whaley twins, a young puppy and a young infant. And my wife, I give all credit to her because I'm out here. I've been on the West Coast since Friday, and I come back tonight, and she's handling the force. So I tip my cap to her, but it is chaos when we get to that house, and it's just, you just sit back and laugh.
Yeah, Doug's out on business, the business of sleeping in a little bit. Doug Whaley with us until 10 o'clock this morning. Doug, one more question on wide receiver. So the Steelers, of course, they play the Giants on Monday, and then they have their bye week. How hard is it for a wide receiver to come in if they should trade for one? How long will it take them to get up to speed on the offense? And can you learn enough of it during the bye week to be ready to go right after?
Absolutely, especially with the wide receivers today and how they've been ingrained in the passing attack of football since, most of them since high school, and a lot of them are doing 7-on-7. So the concepts are the same. There's not much new you can do in football. The only thing different that they'll have to learn and pick up is the terminology. So when they come in, they can really get up to speed in a limited fashion pretty quickly. I think within a week, they should have at least really good wide receivers, 40 to 45% of the playbook ready to be able to enact at a high level and just go from there. And then I think that bye week may be a perfect time to make that trade so you can get somebody, get them up to speed, get them a little couple days of practice with the offense, but more importantly, try to develop some chemistry and timing with Russell Wilson.
You hear a lot of people out there. I mean, when Cooper Kupp's name's being brought up and brought up in becoming a Pittsburgh Steeler potentially, oh, well, he's a slot receiver. They don't need a slot receiver. Does that really matter? Does it matter what the title is of a guy like Cooper Kupp?
No, I look at it this way, especially when you're talking about Omar Khan and the personnel side of the NFL. The main thing in your business and what you need to do is collect as much talent as possible. This guy's a talent at the position he plays. And then when you add to the fact that I think Arthur Smith does a good job, and he showed it by what the offense looked like with Justin Fields and what the offense looked like with Russell Wilson. He put Justin Fields in the best position with his talents and where he is on the quarterback spectrum to play at the highest level he could get Justin Fields to play, which was a very high level. And we all agreed that it was a level that even all of us were questioning why they would supplant him with Russell Wilson. So I say this to say that if Cooper Kupp comes in, I have a really strong feeling Arthur Smith's going to tailor plays and the offense to put him in positions to be successful, but more importantly, be productive.
Let's flip over to the quarterback conversation now, Doug, and we can talk obviously a lot about what Russell Wilson was able to do and what he brings to the table, but does this close the book for the Steelers on Justin Fields as a franchise quarterback, or do you see franchise potential at some point with Justin?
No, I don't think it does. I think it really solidified in their minds, and I think all of our minds, the public, the media, the fans, and the team, that Justin has a ceiling, and he hasn't reached it yet, but he still is further behind, and he's got a ways to go. So I don't think you close the book on it. One thing that is evident is that you have two quarterbacks you can win with. So if Russell Wilson does get injured, the confidence in that locker room in Justin Fields just soared. So I'll say this, and I'm going to go off on a little diatribe. There are three types of coaches, in my opinion. There's teachers, there's coaches, and there's leaders of men. And the way Mike Tomlin handled this situation shows he is a leader of men. You can, and there's going to be a lot of questions from now, before and going forward about his coaching decisions and his coaching ability, but there shall never be another question about Mike Tomlin, why he has this job, because he can lead men. The way he handled it and the way he went out, got out in front of it, no matter what the outcome was going to be, he was pointing the finger at himself. This was my decision and my decision solely. And that's why you hear players, veterans, the rookies say, I want to play for that guy because he knows how to lead men. So all I have to say from now on, when it comes to decisions of personnel and leadership decisions, we should give Coach Tomlin the benefit of the doubt and not say, you're crazy for doing this. He's earned it. Not only from the past experience, but more importantly, how he handled this last decision. And that's why when you think about it, and we talked about it last week, Doran, those people that are around practice, like a Cabali, that's why now that I think about it, he's dropping hints to you. Wilson is the guy because he was seeing what was going on in practice and how he was orchestrating that offense compared to Justin Fields. And again, no slight on Justin. He's just not there yet. But you had a guy that was there, and he knew, Coach Tomlin knew, that Wilson could unlock a part of this offense that wasn't being unlocked with Justin Fields, where you can get a multitude of people in on the passing game and be able to put up 30-plus points against a very good defense. Sorry for going on that, but what was your question?
If Justin Fields is still franchise material.
No, I think he is. I think you have something to work with, and you see he has been able to take what they want him to do and execute it at a high level. Now he's just got to be able to get fed more and more and more, which they may have done it if Russell Wilson was still hurt, but I think his arrow is pointing up, and I don't see why you would close the book on Justin Fields. And the thing that I was always worried about or concerned about was, what are their options going to be next offseason? And how are they going to build not a team that wins games, but a championship team? Now it looks like you have two options. So if you can't get something done with one, you can always try to get something done with others. So this puts them in a very good situation for their next move, knowing both quarterbacks can play at a high level.
Where does it go next with Russell Wilson and the Steelers offense? We'll talk to Doug about that when we come back. In case you missed it, the Chiefs have traded for DeAndre Hopkins from the Tennessee Titans, gave up a conditional fourth-round pick. The Chiefs had been plus 200, best odds to land Cooper Kupp. You know who came in at number two, Doran?
Steelers.
Yes, that's right, at plus 300.
Yes.
So you would have to say now that the Steelers are the favorites for Cooper Kupp.
Correct.
Doug Whaley joins us until 10 o'clock. Doug, let's say the Steelers get a wide receiver, an upgrade, and now they've got Russell Wilson. So they're sitting there at 5-2 in the AFC North, top the division, tied with the Baltimore Ravens, with another receiver, with Russell Wilson. Just how good can these Steelers be, and how would you kind of fit them in among the hierarchy here in the AFC?
Yeah, I think when you look at it, if they can get another receiver with Russell Wilson leading the offense, it goes from an offense that has concepts that are actuate, that you put into action, like, oh, we're going to flood this zone, watch 1-2, 2-3, to an offense that can feature matchups, where they can find the weakest link in that defense and saying, in this concept, we're going to focus on that nickel. That nickel is their weakest link. We're going to put said X receiver and focus on beating that person. Or, hey, like the Jets, they think they can get home with their defensive line, but we're going to focus on Pickens against their corner. So to me, it goes to that point. And when you get into that level of execution on your offense, the sky's the limit, like I said before. And you don't want to put a limitation on saying, oh, we can be this good, we can be this. Let's shoot for the stars and see where this thing can take us. Now, where they slot in into the AFC right now, I mean, you got to give it to the Chiefs. You got to give it to the Bills right now. I just, with Josh Allen, any of those guys that are the supreme quarterbacks, but I'll say they're on that tier below. And I'm just saying the tier below now, just because it's only been a small sample size with Russell Wilson. If he can string four or five games together like he played this last one, or even, and we expect him to obviously be better because he's not going to have that first quarter that was just atrocious. So if he can do that, then they're inching up into that upper echelon where you have to talk about them with those class of AFC teams.
Doug, there are people out there that were trying to pick apart a Sunday night's game, especially Russell Wilson's game, saying that there was a lot of balls underthrown, that his arm talent just isn't there anymore. I know what my eyes told me during that game. What did your eyes tell you? What's your pure evaluation of Russell Wilson during Sunday night's game?
To me, the pure evaluation is a guy that knows how to play that position, a guy that needs to get some rust knocked off, and he will get better. But he did two things, in my opinion, for the Steelers. He showed a quarterback. There's a difference in a quarterback that throws to an open guy and a quarterback that throws a guy open. And that's what he was trying to do a lot of the times. Now, his accuracy wasn't there, especially on the deep balls. George Pickens had to make some adjustments. But he's still trying to throw the guy open. And the second thing that he brought to this offense, there's a difference between being a team that wants to run and a team that can run. With his ability to open up the passing game, that made the rushing attack that more effective because they can run when they want to instead of just saying, we're going to run, we're going to run, we're going to run. No, we're going to run after we opened up the running with the pass. So this is his ability to elevate the entire offense, be it the passing game, the running game, the receivers that are catching the ball, and the rushing attack shows you why they – and more importantly, why Coach Tomlin said, this is our guy no matter how well Justin Fields played.
Speaking of that rushing attack, Najee Harris, only the second time in his career where he's run for 100 yards in back-to-back games. What are you seeing from him that has led to this level of success?
I think it's, again, going back to Arthur Smith, putting him in positions to be successful. Obviously, we talked about it. Everybody's talked about it. Besides the toss plays, you take them all out of the equation, him being able to say, go downhill, be decisive, run like your hair's on fire, and just get up the field. Be a north-south vertical runner that has contact balance, has run strength, that can push the pile. And don't try to be something you're not. Be who you are. And that's just a power chunk runner that once in a while can break off a long run. But you're going to constantly be moving the pile forward and falling for extra yards. I'd like to hear the PFS stats on his yards after contact.
Now, what about this defense? Defense played pretty well. And Beanie Bishop, I mean, he didn't have, you know, the best games all the way up until this point, and being an undrafted rookie and being thrusted into that role, that's a tough deal. And he goes out there and he has two picks. You know, you just can't say enough about him. And then now they're dealing with a little bit of injuries with Dante Jackson. How do you feel this defense is right now as we stand today?
I think it's getting confidence. And one of the reasons why it's getting confidence is because of what's happening on the offensive side of the ball. You can't tell me Doran, that in that locker room, that defense is looking around and Terrell Austin's saying, if this offense puts up 30 plus points, there is no team that can play with us, because you're going to unleash that pass rush, and it's going to make people like Beanie Bishop, again, he had a tough start to the year, but he kept stuck with it. But more importantly, the coaches stuck with him and had confidence with him, and he's repaying it for him. So in today's society, everybody wants a quick hook. There's, again, showing the leadership of Mike Tomlin. Have some patience with a young, undrafted rookie free agent, and it will pay off. So I know I went on that tangent about his leadership qualities, Mike Tomlin, but there's another instance where someone that wasn't a leader of men would yank that guy and try to fill a hole. So with all the holes that will pop up from injuries, they have a feeling that the guys that come in, the level of expectation of production is not going to dip, especially when you have an offense that can put you in a lead and you're playing from a comfortable position of just going out and going after the quarterback.
One more segment with Doug Whaley coming up next. Something that I wanted to talk about earlier that came out of Mike Tomlin's press conference, but we didn't get to it. We'll get to it when we come back. Social media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Last segment here with Doug Whaley on a Wednesday with Whaley. Mike Tomlin in his press conference yesterday said that he talked to New York. They admitted that the leverage call on Minkah Fitzpatrick on the extra point was the wrong call. And Doug, I'm curious as to why, okay, you can buzz down and wrong some egregious calls on the field. Why is that something you can't do? Seems like if you can admit it a day or so later that you screwed the pooch, why can't you see that in real time and make sure you don't cost a team a football game?
I think that a lot of it, and you heard it in Tomlin's press conference, that they are very cautious about how they introduce technology in the game, and especially when it is concerning plays on the field. My thought process was always, you have the technology, why not get it right instead of just leaning on humans, which have a propensity to make mistakes. No one's perfect. I mean, I know, Adam, you are perfect.
Thank
but
you,
you're
Doug.
Probably the only being on this earth that is perfect. But yeah, I think it's, I hate to say it, it's that old school mentality that, hey, let's the ref be the refs, and in the end, the calls will equal out. You'll get some go for you, get some go against you. But we do have the technology, and why not just get it right?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that winds up really changing the game at that point in time. I mean, you wind up being down multiple scores instead of just one scores. And hey, look, you're allowed to stop a two-point conversion too.
Mm-hmm.
But they work so hard on stuff like that. I mean, you've got Minkah Fitzpatrick on the field. We've seen in some punt safe situations where you've got TJ Watt on the field. They pay a ton of attention to special teams and they scheme it up. And so you'd like to see a guy get rewarded. Go ahead.
And more importantly, when you think about it, the excitement of the game, a lot of times field goals, besides to see if they're good or not, are very uneventful plays. So when you can introduce something that can make this game more exciting, but it's on the defensive side where it prevents scoring, so there's going to be some apprehension from 345 Park Avenue to really crack down on that stuff. But from a fan's perspective, that type of play is more exciting to me than watching a 50-yard field goal.
You ready for this question, Doran?
Yes.
I was thinking about this yesterday. So Mike Tomlin referred to first-round draft picks, guys who get to hug Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell gets paid a lot of money. He does what the owners say. He's done a good job of doing that. Does Roger Goodell know about football? Like, does he actually understand the game of football, Doug?
It doesn't matter because he understands the game of revenue.
No,
he understands.
I get that. I totally get that. I just wonder if he's talking cover two. He's talking fire zone blitzes. I don't think so.
Probably not.
No, not at all. But what he is talking about is the promise he made to the owners when he got the job of getting that revenue up to $25 billion a year. That's what he's talking about. Where else can we infiltrate the world to get another revenue streams? That's why there's going to end up being 18 games overseas for things like that. That's what he's talking about.
Doug, this was fun as always. Appreciate the time, and we will talk to you next week.
I'll see you in studio next week, fellas.
There we go.
See you, Doug.
That's our GM, Doug Whaley.
Hail to Pitt.
He said hail to Pitt there at the
hail
end.
Hail to Pitt.
It cut off.
Hail to Pitt. Hail to Larry Fitzgerald.
Tomorrow.
Yes, bobblehead. You want one?
Okay, so Larry is among the Pitt people that I love and respect.
Who else?
You.
Who else?
Kind of Bostic.
Who else?
Revis, really good.
Who else?
I have respect for Eli Holstein.
Who about EJ?
Love EJ. Get along well with Coach Dews.
Yep.
I think Pitt kicks the ever-living crap out of Syracuse tomorrow. And crack. They kick anything they can kick out of them, they're going to kick out of them.
You love Pitt, don't you?
That was a very pro-Pitt 40 seconds for me right there.
I know. I love it.
I think the line opened up at Pitt minus 3.5, and now it's at 6, so the betting public feels the same way.
Yeah.
That Pitt's going to get it done tomorrow.
Yes, they are.
I expect a good crowd, too, for Larry Fitzgerald bobblehead night.
Should be.
He going to be there? Obviously.
Yes.
Could you get me a bobblehead?
I just asked if you wanted one.
Can you get him to sign it for me?
Seriously?
I think it would mean a lot to my father.
Okay. I'll do it for your dad.
Selling that thing.
You're selling it. We got a special guest tomorrow.
Do we?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say who it is?
We can wait till tomorrow.
All right.
Keep people hanging.
8 a.m., right?
8 a.m.
Special guest tomorrow at 8 a.m. And I would like to wish my daughter, Nora, a very special happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Nora.
She is 5 today.
Almost.
Yeah, she said she is still a little bit 4 and will be definitely 5 after her birthday party, which is just some kid logic there. I love it. I absolutely love it. Love it. Her. She's 5. Where the hell does your life go?
She's the best.
She is awesome, and she has made a makeshift throne and has my wife and her baby sister right now as her quote-unquote butlers. So I am in for it as she continues to age. Big show tomorrow, like Doran said. Special guest coming up at 8 a.m. Of course, Pat Bostic in for 3 hours. Of course, Bill Hillgrove. Of course, Jeff Hathorn. We got a big one on a Thursday. Great show today. Joe Starkey up next. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado, 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 75.